said, holy moly, there we go. Oh, man. Hey, welcome to the Mike Malloy Show. I'm Brad Friedman of bradblog.com, your friendly citizen, investigative journalist, blogger, troublemaker, muckraker, here once again for night number four of my latest weekly stint here, guest hosting for Mike, as he and Kathy and Molly are away on summer vacation, or perhaps a staycation. Man alive, holy moly, about an hour and a half ago, I thought, well, we'll just have open lines for the first hour and a half or so of the show, because there's a slow news day, not too much to talk about, wanted to hear from you, and I'm still going to try to do that. You can get in now, and hopefully I'll get to you. Our phone numbers are 877-520-1150. That's 877-520-1150. Write it down. So, yeah, I was. I thought we were going to have plenty of time for calls, and then all of a sudden, within the last hour or so, we've got so much breaking news. We're going to cover this all here as well as we can momentarily before going to your calls. Later in this show tonight, it's a big show. I'm going to be joined live in studio a little bit later on by Howie Klein of Down with Tyranny and Huffington Post. We're going to talk about all things political, you know, that horse race stuff, that red-blue stuff, that blue dog stuff, at least as it concerns the November elections and what we have to look forward to or not look forward to when it comes to the horse race and congressional races around the country. No one knows it better than Howie. We have also got some exclusive breaking news of our own tonight. I'm not going to give too much away here yet, but boy, oh boy, is this a troubling development in a long-running case, a long-running investigation that we've been reporting on at BradBlog over the last several years. A new break in a case concerning election fraud, and it's very, very troubling. I will tease that out a little bit over this over the next hour. We're going to deal with that in the second hour and have someone who is going to join us from right in the middle of that case right here live on the Mike Malloy Show as we break this news. Did I mention it was troubling? But first, let me get to a couple of points here. Well, we do have a conviction in the California traffic station killing. I'm going to cover that in a moment, but I want to move right to the top here with a setback in an appellate court case, a setback for the Obama administration in the BP case, the Deepwater Drilling case. The appeals court, who they were fighting the moratorium, let's see, they had a six-month moratorium for drilling offshore that they put in place. A judge down in Louisiana, a district court judge, Martin Feldman, overturned that moratorium. And the Obama administration went to an appeals court to try to stay that, I guess not overturn, but try to stay that injunction that was put in place by Martin Feldman. Ernie Canning has been following this for us over at bradblog.com, our senior legal analyst. We had him on to talk about this earlier this week and about the conflicts of interest from the district court judge, Martin Feldman. This, well, let's bring him on and get the update on this appellate court ruling this evening. Hey, Ernie, welcome back to the Mike Malloy Show.
How you doing, Brad?
I'm okay. So the Fifth Circuit Appellate Court has done what? Explain what they've done with this moratorium that had previously been banned or overturned.
Well, the only thing that was before the court today was an emergency motion for a stay of Judge Feldman's preliminary injunction. If they had granted it, it would mean basically the moratorium would be immediately reinstated. They did not, although that there seems to be, I haven't had a chance to read the actual decision, but in looking at the news reports on it, there seems to be somewhat of a division on the court as to how these judges felt about the stay. There are two Reagan appointees on the court, mm-hmm. and it looks like their inclined to give deference to the trial judge. Judge Dennis, who is a Clinton appointee, felt that there should have been more deference given to Secretary Salazar's decision. He didn't feel that Salazar had acted arbitrarily, but he had some question about and went along with denying the stay, apparently because he has some questions about why a full 6 months was required.
Okay, well, let me.
It's not the end of the case.
Hang on a second, okay. Ernie. Hang on. Let me just get this math here. So. Ken Salazar, on behalf of the administration, Secretary Salazar of the Department of Interior, says we're going to have a six-month ban on offshore drilling, exploratory drills in only 33 rigs out of some 3,600 in the Gulf that are continuing production.
Yeah, only the deepwater rigs that were similarly situated.
Right. So Salazar. Okay, Salazar says we're going to have this this moratorium. Feldman comes in and he says, no, I don't think so. I'm going to put an injunction on this moratorium. The administration goes right back to court to this three-court panel three-judge panel that they argued in front of today at the Fifth Circuit, and the three-judge panel. And they were arguing for a stay to keep that moratorium there. The three-judge panel says, no, the moratorium is the injunction on the moratorium remains, yet there is still an appeal, a full appeal ahead. Do I understand it correctly?
Right. It's that we're not going to immediately vacate the injunction. They may yet, and there will be a hearing scheduled sometime in either late August or early September on the full appeal, and they may very well reverse themselves at that time reverse the district court decision. We don't know. But for now, the preliminary injunction remains in place.
Okay. And they had argued in that case, the administration had argued that the judge had acted, had abused his discretion. Is that correct?
They're continuing to argue that.
Okay, they're continuing to argue it, but they use that as the basis to say this is why we have to stay this injunction today, and the court did not buy it.
Well, it doesn't necessarily mean they didn't buy it. What you have to show for the stay is similar to what the plaintiff, Hornbeck Offshore Services, had to show to get the original injunction, which is that there would be irreparable harm if you don't immediately stay this decision.
Okay.
So the court may very well have said, look, we don't see the irreparable harm in waiting till we hear the entire appeal on this, particularly because it's only a month away. The other interesting thing was that Hornbeck CEO complained that he's not sure any of the companies who have the rigs are going to resume their drilling because everything's up in the air and they may not want to start doing any exploratory drilling when they might end up being stopped anyway. So it may very well be that it isn't irreparable harm at this point.
And the full case then, and Hornbeck, we should say, is the plaintiff in this case.
Right.
They were the ones suing to overturn this moratorium. The full case, I guess, the full appeal will then be heard August, I believe it's August 3rd, if I'm recalling.
Well, according to the AP report I'm looking at here, they're indicating that it will be towards the end of late August or early September, which appears to be what one of the three judges suggested is when the full hearing.
Well, they're just going to run they're just going to run out the six-month clock anyway on these court hearings, Ernie.
They could very well, particularly if they voluntarily don't do it. The other interesting thing is that the Justice Department attorney said that Salazar is still looking at, based on new information, a new revised moratorium that wouldn't be tied to the current decision. So that could still complicate matters.
Okay.
And the interesting feature of this, that came in since we were discussing the other day, is besides the division of what these judges are, is that the judges we have on the Court of Appeal all have ties at some point in their career to the oil companies as well.
Yeah, they do. And in the case, by the way, you had mentioned in your coverage at bradblog.com on this three-judge panel, though two of them are Reagan appointees and one of them is a Clinton appointee, You had pointed out that in the past they have ruled, this particular three-judge panel has ruled against the oil industry in the past, correct?
Yeah, that was Comer versus Murphy Oil. The odd thing about that case, even though they had reinstated the property owner's right to sue the oil companies over Katrina, what happened was the oil companies then went before the full Fifth Circuit, and when they did, they couldn't get enough judges who didn't feel they had conflicts of interest to make a quorum. So that ended up just not having enough judges to make the quorum vacated the decision, and it ended up reinstating the district court's ruling in favor of the oil companies.
Gotcha. Thanks for this update, Ernie Canning. I do appreciate it. You can read more on this, of course, at BradBlog as soon as Ernie catches up with this news. Ernie Canning, California attorney, and BradBlog.com senior legal analyst. Thank you, sir.
Take care, Brad.
You bet. All right, when we get back, as I said, more breaking news, a conviction in Oakland, and federal gay marriage found unconstitutional. More on the Molloy Show straight ahead. Okay, welcome back. It is the Mike Molloy Show, though it is I, Brad Friedman of BradBlog.com, live and broadcasting from the West Coast, from beautiful downtown Burbank here with breaking news. One item, I'm sorry to say, after another. You can try to get in on the phones. I will try to get to them tonight. 877-520-1150. 877-520-1150 on any damn thing you want to talk about. These are your airwaves. Use them or lose them even more than you already have. Now I just have to get to those phones. Of course, the one thing we won't talk about, don't call me now about politics, horse race politics for November, because Howie Klein's going to join us in the final hour tonight and hold your questions on that for him, on you know, who's running, who's winning, who's losing, all of that stuff. Anything else, though, is fair game as far as I'm concerned. I was remiss and forgot to mention that the BradBlog.com chat room is open for business during these live broadcasts. So stop on over there and say hey to your lovely hostesses, Jeannie Dean and Desi Doyen, who will also be joining us on the air in a moment for some breaking news concerning the BP disaster. But first this, this is from AP just before airtime tonight. A white former transit officer was convicted of involuntary manslaughter Thursday in the shooting death of an unarmed black man on an Oakland train platform in a 2009 encounter that set off days of rioting in the city. You may remember this. You may have seen the videotape of this. Prosecutors had wanted Johannes Messerli, I think that's how you say his name, convicted of murdering. They had wanted him convicted of murdering 22-year-old Oscar Grant, who was shot as he lay face down. Messerli was placed in handcuffs and taken away after the verdict. He turned to his family and mouthed, "I love you guys." His parents wept when the verdict was read. Grant's mother, Wanda Johnson, stared at the jurors and appeared upset. And the reason why was because the jury had a choice between murder and lesser charges of voluntary and involuntary manslaughter. Murder was tossed out by the judge, I believe, not long ago. So they had to choose between voluntary and involuntary. They chose the least onerous involuntary manslaughter, which should give him, involuntary manslaughter carries a sentence of 2 to 4 years. And the riot police are on duty tonight in Oakland and San Francisco following this verdict, which is sure to outrage some folks. Let's hope it doesn't get ugly up there. It had to. The cop in this case, as you can see in the video, just pulls out a gun and boom, shoots the guy in the back. The guy who had been, you know, lying down. He claims that the reason he did it was because he thought he was reaching for a taser, and he pulled out a gun instead. Okay. If you say so. One of Grant's friends, Jackie Bryson, testified that Messerli said expletive this before firing the fatal shot. Defense attorney Michael Raines contended the shooting was a tragic accident. Massarelli had no motive to shoot Grant, even though he was resisting arrest, the lawyer argued. Raines also said Massarelli told a colleague before the shooting, Tony, I can't get his hands. I'm going to tase him. That's what they say. We'll keep our eyes on that situation. As I say, lots of breaking news tonight. None of it having to do with LeBron James. Oh, wait, maybe there will be. Not that I care about it, but we'll give it to you when it comes. I think he's making his... What is it? Tony's going to decide who the hell he's going to go play basketball with. Stuff that I don't really care about. Federal gay marriage ban ruled unconstitutional also late today. The federal law banning gay marriage is unconstitutional because it interferes with the right of a state to define the institution and therefore denies married gay couples some federal benefits, a federal judge ruled Thursday in Boston. U.S. District Judge Joseph Taro ruled in favor of gay couples' rights in two separate challenges to the Defense of Marriage Act, known as DOMA, a 1996 law that the Obama administration had argued for repealing. The ruling applies to Massachusetts but could have broader implications if they're upheld on appeal. This is good news. I told you last night there was bad news out there in Hawaii where the governor had vetoed a same-sex civil rights or civil unions bill. The hell with that. The hell with civil unions bills. If you're a conservative like me who believes in the Constitution and equal rights for all, then that means anyone who wants to get married should be able to get married. Much, much more breaking news straight ahead. Brad in for Malloy. Buckle your seatbelts. We'll be back. Yeah, some news in that Russian spy case coming up momentarily. Would have had it at the top of the show, but there's so other damn much breaking news here tonight. Brad Friedman of BradBlog.com in for Mike Malloy. You can stop by the BradBlog.com chat room. But first this breaking news. See, we're getting breaking news on top of breaking news. Because I know everybody listening cares about this more than anything. NBA's reigning two-time MVP, LeBron James, says he's going to the Miami Heat. There you go. LeBron to the Heat. Who cares? But that's apparently everybody on MSNBC, CNN, and Fox News care because they're covering it as if it's breaking news, as if it matters, as if there's more to the story than LeBron's going to the Heat. Okay? Done. Now, back to your previously scheduled news that actually matters. We're going to have Desi Doyen in here joining us in a moment, and I am going to try to get to your calls. No promises. 877-520-1150. 877-520-1150. One more point here I wanted to hit on this federal gay marriage ban that was ruled unconstitutional by a federal U.S. district judge in Boston. That was good news as far as I'm concerned, as far as those of us who give a damn about the Constitution and equal rights for all, equal protection under the law. The state had argued that the law denied benefits such as Medicaid to gay married couples in Massachusetts where the same-sex unions have been legal since 2004. And I'm not sure, but I don't think that Massachusetts has fallen into the ocean. And in case there's anybody out there, any of you wingnuts who are listening, your right-wingers who aren't, and I call you wingnuts and right-wingers as opposed to conservatives, because conservatives understand the Constitution, real ones, fake George Bush conservatives, the people who call yourselves conservatives who aren't, have no clue how the Constitution works. To the wingnuts, I just wanted to remind you, when same-sex marriage is legal for all, as it will be, whether you like it or not, it's not mandatory. You don't have to marry someone of the same sex. Just to be clear for you jackasses who panic about this nonsense. Let's see. So Taro, the judge, Judge Taro here, agreed that the law, the federal law, denied benefits and said that the act forces Massachusetts to discriminate against its own citizens in order to be eligible for federal funding in federal-state partnerships. The act, quote, plainly encroaches upon the right of the state to determine marriage. Okay? Are you phony conservatives out there who forgot what states' rights are about, even though you argue for them all the time because Fox News tells you to? This is a case of states' rights, obviously, and Massachusetts is saying that the federal law encroaches, quote, plainly encroaches upon our states' rights. That Defense of Marriage Act, that needs to be overturned. The Obama administration has argued for repealing it. Let's hope they do. Okay, let me get some more breaking news now on the oil spill from Desi Doyen, my co-host on the Green News Report, heard on fine progressive radio stations everywhere. 6 minutes of green news, politics, analysis, and snarky comment. I believe you folks up there in San Francisco can hear it at the top of the, not this hour, the next 8 p.m. or so. Or you can go to greennews.bradblog.com to hear it all anytime you want. Desi is going to join us some news that broke today before we, after we did today's Green News Report. From Charlie Crist out of Florida. What do you got, Des?
Oh, well, Charlie Crist, the governor of Florida, who's a Republican, said on Thursday he's going to call.
Is he a Republican anymore?
Well, technically,
no, isn't
that's
he?
The word, that's the R. That's he's still got an R in
his
He's
still got an R?
I
thought
he
was an independent. Okay, he's going to run as an independent, but he's still officially a member of the Republican Party or something?
I don't know if he's officially left the Republican Party.
All right.
So he's calling a special session of the legislature in less than 2 weeks to ask lawmakers to consider a proposed constitutional amendment to ban offshore drilling for Florida.
Nice.
Yeah, so he wants the legislature to basically give the voters of Florida a say on whether they're going to do drilling or not off the coast of Florida. And the reason he's doing it now and having to rush it as he did was because the deadline is August 4th for any proposed amendments to make it to the November 2nd ballot. So he called this news conference together, and apparently, at least according to Reuters, he violated a cardinal rule of Tallahassee politics by calling for a special session without a consensus with legislative leaders.
Oh, boo-hoo.
And apparently right now, at the press event, they asked him if he knew how the House leaders for the state legislature were going to react, but he says he didn't know because they have repeatedly refused to return his calls.
Oh, man. All right. Well, so, but are they going to have that? He's just asking for that session?
Yeah, he wants to basically.
He can't order it, right?
I think he can order it. He's saying he's going to order it. I guess, you know, they're going to have some discussion about when it's actually going to happen. But the what I thought was interesting about this is that, you know, the offshore drilling is already banned by state law off the coast of Florida. But he said that, Chris said that, you know, in his press conference that House leaders tried in 2009 to allow drilling just 3 miles off the coast. Now, the Florida Senate killed that bill. But apparently, you know, there's enough back and forth in the legislature. He wants it made part of the Constitution of Florida.
All right. Well, that's good. That's good news. Feeding on to the not as good news that we had earlier tonight at the top of the show, the three-judge appellate court down in Louisiana who refused to put a stay on the injunction of the moratorium on the oil drilling ban. In other words, the ban continues. No, the ban, the moratorium does not continue for the moment. They're free to drill if they want on those 33 platforms that the Obama administration would like them to not drill on for the moment, at least pending the full hearing on the appeal in August or September. Got that? Does that make sense?
It's a little crazy.
Yeah, I know. Just a little bit. Okay. Thank you for that update. Anything else for the moment?
Just that the first solar-powered plane completed its first night flight.
Oh, yeah,
flight.
That was cool. Yeah.
Yeah, it was pretty neat.
It was a 24-hour flight, wasn't it?
Yeah, it flew. It's a 24-hour flight, and it was it apparently has the wingspan as big as a Boeing Airbus, and it's all solar panels on top of it, and it was battery-operated. So it's pretty cool.
That is pretty cool.
But, you know, it's not something you're going to fly on, but at least it's the beginning of, hopefully, a new industry. So.
Well, it's a solar-powered plane. Did it have, like, backup power just in case?
You know, I don't know.
Because I'm thinking it's going to be kind of scary. You're in a solar plane, and it's getting dark out, and that's kind of
But this
scary.
Was at night. You realize this was at night,
what
this
do you
flight.
Mean? He took off at night?
No. Yeah, he took off at night. He was flying at
well,
night.
Well, it was a 24-hour flight.
He was
it?
Flying in the dark.
But not for 24 hours.
Well, not 24 hours in the dark. He wasn't.
So it was. That's what I'm saying. So there had to be sun originally.
Right.
Right.
He was
so
running
stores
off
up
of batteries.
Right. And then it gets dark.
And
then,
he was still able to fly.
I know. And then it gets a little scary that you're. Okay, we got it. All right. Go ahead and answer the phones, will you? All right. Well done. Desi Doyen. The lovely Desi Doyen of the Green News Report. 877-520-1150. Still more breaking news and our own exclusive breaking news in the next hour in a long-running election fraud case, which is, I find it to be rather disturbing news. Let's start narrowing it down for you. It's in Arizona. Okay. We'll give you some more as we move forward, and we'll give you the full story in hour two. All right, I'm going to hold the spies for a second, and let's hit some calls since I promised. Billy in Austin, Texas, welcome to the Mike Malloy Show. What's on your mind, sir?
Well, I was going to chime in on this gay marriage controversy, and I'm getting a little tired of hearing about it. I'm a conservative in Central Texas.
So you're in favor of it, right?
I'm in favor of what?
Of same-sex marriage.
There's no such thing as same-sex marriage.
What do you mean there's no such thing? Well, you said you were a conservative, so I'm sure you're in favor of the ending these restrictions against people's equal rights under the law.
I think you're trying to put words in my mouth, and I wish you wouldn't do that.
Oh, okay, go ahead.
What I'm saying is the problem started when the government got involved in marriage to begin with.
Right.
And started assigning benefits to spouses.
Yeah.
And the arguments that the gay folks want are what they want is that they want the benefits. They don't care about the sacrament of marriage.
Now, this is based on what exactly? Because I know quite a few folks who are gay who really do care about the sacrament of marriage and who want to be married.
Well, the sacrament of marriage was not ordained for same-sex couples or me with my horse.
We're not talking about you with your horse. What you do with your horse is your own business. But in this case, we're talking about marriage, which has been redefined over the years, over and over. As you know, there used to be multiple spouses. So what do you mean?
No, it hasn't been.
No?
Not for me. No, not
for you.
Not for me. Not in my lifetime. Not according to. To my my history.
Really?
No.
Do you read the Bible, sir?
Yeah, sure.
So you're familiar with multiple wives in the Bible. You're familiar with multiple wives, a polygamous marriage that took place in Utah until they became a state.
I don't see your point. What difference does that make?
Well, my point is you said that it was not ordained for same-sex couples or some nonsense like that. And how can you call yourself a conservative, sir? Don't you read the Constitution?
The point I'm trying to make is that the government should not be involved in any respect, in the sacrament of marriage, and that means granting licenses or assigning benefits. All of that argument aside, the same kind of benefits can be done between same-sex people or same-sex unions.
Mm-hmm.
Contractually, without having to call it marriage.
Do you want to nullify all marriages that were carried out under the state?
I'm not saying I want to do that.
Okay, so you want to allow the state marriages to continue, you want to allow people to continue getting married under the state, correct?
What I'm saying, no, I'd like to see the government do away with marriage licenses and let people go and get married.
So you want them to nullify all of those marriages that the state has performed?
The marriages that were performed under the law back when it was, as it was constituted, should be respected, and that's fine.
Okay.
I'm okay with that.
Fine. But we're talking about marriages that already exist under the state that they've licensed them. You don't want to do away with those marriages, correct?
You talk about the same-sex marriages?
No, I'm talking about any marriage that has already been licensed under the state. You're cool with leaving that. You don't want to nullify those marriages, right?
That's correct.
Okay. So you think that people should be allowed to be married under the state because they're, as they say, opposite sex, but you want to deny same-sex couples that right, correct?
I'm not saying deny them anything. They can call it what they want to call it.
How about we call it marriage? How about we call it marriage and the state says it's okay, as has been done in several states now?
Because the difference between you and I is I like to call things the truth, and y'all rely on sophistry.
Okay, good deal. Here's the truth, sir. You called yourself a conservative, which means you should give a damn about the Constitution. So I'm going to stand by George Bush's own Solicitor General, Theodore Olson, who has gone to court and ordered that constitutionally you cannot restrict two men or two women who both agree to get married to each other. I'm going to be the conservative here. If you want to be, if you want to be
conservative, and you start saying, "Okay, you call yourself,"
you ain't a conservative, pal.
You must agree.
You ain't a conservative, pal.
You don't know what you're talking about.
You ain't no conservative, pal, because if you, and I ain't your buddy, pal. If you want to stand by the Constitution and equal rights for all, so that you can call yourself a conservative, sir, then you better start being consistent.
Yeah, sure.
See ya, Billy. What? He hung up on himself? Not very conservative of him, was it? You see, these guys don't know what they're talking about. They ain't conservative. There's nothing conservative about them. They don't give a damn about the Constitution, equal rights, the rule of law. And I wish everyone would stop calling those guys conservative, because they ain't. And I'm talking about folks who are, you know, on MSNBC and on the left and everywhere else. Stop calling them conservatives. They're right-wingers. They're wingnuts. Nothing conservative about them. Brad Friedman in for Malloy. Much more straight ahead. Jackasses are jumping up and down in Miami. What happened? What, Tony? Oh, you're so fired. They're jumping up and down in Miami because of LeBron James, and I couldn't care less. Welcome back to the Mike Malloy Show. Brad Friedman in for Mike Malloy with Tony Sorrentino engineering and screwing up the music tonight. You're blaming the computer? Blaming the computer, huh? Crashed? Are we in trouble? Are we going out? Anybody hearing us? Can they hear us? We don't know. Maybe so. We can't tell. Okay, I'll keep talking. All right, we're all right. If you heard that last caller, this guy who calls himself a conservative, why is it that these conservatives, these so-called conservatives who aren't conservatives, why is it that these guys want the government in our lives? I don't know. I'm a guy who believes in states' rights. I, you know, believe in the small government. I don't want the government telling me I can't get married to whoever I want. I don't want the government telling me what to do. I don't want them in my bedroom. I don't want them telling me what medical procedures I can perform. But he was a jackass, not a conservative like me. More breaking news here for you. Federal judge orders Guantanamo detainee free. Federal judge has ordered the release of another Yemeni captive at Guantanamo, the 37th time a war on terror captive in southeast Cuba has won his unlawful detention suit against the U.S. government. Judge Paul Friedman's order, no relation, in the case of Hussein Almerfedi, okay, close enough, at the U.S. District Court in Washington, D.C., instructs the Obama administration to take all necessary and appropriate steps to facilitate the release of the petitioner forthwith. His reasoning on why the U.S. had unlawfully detained Almerfedi, 33, held at Guantanamo since May of 2003, was still under seal. There we go again. I'm the conservative here because I give a damn about the Constitution and habeas corpus, and that we shouldn't be holding people in prisons forever since 2003. Over 7 years, this guy has been unlawfully detained. And you right-wingers who are in favor of this, we have now released almost 75% of those folks that we had at Gitmo. Remember, they were the worst of the worst. We can't move them. We can't take them out of Cuba. They're the worst of the worst. Oh, except for 75% of them so far. You see? Stop calling them conservatives. All right, I'll get to your calls at the top of the next hour, and then we will have some breaking news, some big breaking news out of Arizona on top of everything else. Some exclusive breaking news. I should say I wanted to cover this this Russian spy swap thing. We have now had the 10 men and women suspected of being Russian secret agents pleaded guilty today before a judge in Manhattan on Thursday. The latest step in a prisoner exchange between U.S. and Russia. They all pleaded guilty. They're sending them back to Russia. And what about what we're getting in exchange? Four spies of our own, apparently. I mean, you know, after the cheeseburger summit with Medvedev, you had all of these right-wingers saying, oh, look, spies in Russia, and Obama fell for it, and he's friends with the Russians. We shouldn't be friends. We're spying on them, too, you knuckleheads. The game continues. It always will. Pay attention, people. You're listening to the Mike Malloy Show. Brad Friedman in for Mike. Breaking news out of Arizona, Pima County, election fraud. Next hour, stay with us.